Welcome to Air Jaren, a production of Global Radio Ministries and Jaren Ministries International. Walking in Christ, living like Jesus. Program 41 in the series on the Book of Colossians, written and taught by Dr. Jim Ceci.
In this passage of chapter 2, the Apostle Paul calls upon all believers to walk like Jesus. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted, and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude.
To review part 1, number 1, the beginning of the walk. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, first, we must receive Him as the fully divine Christ. Next, we must accept Him as the fully human Jesus. And then we must acknowledge Christ Jesus as the absolute and sovereign Lord. Number 2, the command to walk. Colossians 2:6, so walk in Him. This requires a continuing lifestyle that imitates Jesus Christ. That is continually asking the question, what would Jesus do? It is a step-by-step journey into Christ-like behavior.
Last time, Dr. Ceci reminded us from this passage in Colossians of our position in Christ. God has made us permanently rooted in Christ, though our current walk may not be perfect.
Chapter 2, verse 7 of Colossians, the mighty God has firmly rooted us in Christ, and absolutely nothing can ever uproot us. I hold on to that, don't you? Because my walk is not always the best, and neither is yours.
Walking in Christ, Living Like Jesus, Part 2. Now discussing our spiritual walk is Dr. Ceci.
And not only has God firmly and permanently rooted us in Christ, He's also become our source of nourishment and growth as we walk in Him. And that's why Paul continues by saying, God continually builds us up in Christ. In other words, He firmly rooted us in Christ, and no one can uproot us. On the other hand, we also need to be raised up and cared for and built up in Christ. And that's what he says. And now, firmly rooted before the foundation of the world, enacted in the time and space in human history, but now we're being built up. Do you catch the verbs there? You say, well, what does it mean? Well, let me see if I can illustrate this. How many of you have ever had a little sapling and you had to stake it to keep it up? Anybody? A little, you know, put a little stake in the thing. And that only gave it support, but also shaped the tree. I have an apple tree, and I want everything to look like Disneyland, because that's what heaven's going to look like. Topiary in heaven, I'm sure of it. All right? And things are going to look like elephants and animals, and everything's going to be in rows. Not like my wife thinks. It's not going to be an English garden where everything is all mixed. It's going to have... All right, maybe I'm wrong about that. All right? But I have an apple tree, and apple trees don't like to grow straight. But I've got that thing staked. And I go out and check the stake. And I pull that thing, and it's straightening out. I'm so afraid to cut that twine, because I think it's going to go back to its stink, you know, whatever. But that's what's happening to you and me spiritually. We were deeply planted in Christ, but we also need the staking, the support of an ongoing relationship with Christ. Why? Because there are forces trying to misshape me. I'm to be shaped like Jesus, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but there are things pulling at me, trying to make me crooked, trying to make me not look straight, to not point me rightly. God has provided everything. In fact, in 2 Peter, Peter says that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. You know what that means? It means I can grow straight. Not in my own power, but with the provision and the power that God gives me. He has provided everything. And I could hand this microphone to scores of you who were little saplings staked by the Lord Jesus Christ, responding to His word and growing in maturity. In the midst of all the trials, here you are as mature trees that God propped up and helped you stand against the unpredictable winds of physical problems and the unrelenting waves of family problems and the unexpected storms of doubt or discouragement or the shifting sands of an unstable economy or a loss of a job or loss of a loved one. But you stand on Psalm 37, verse 17. You know it experientially. that the Lord upholds the righteous. Say it with me. The Lord upholds the righteous. Psalm 37, verse 17. Do we have that picture up there? It's one of my favorites. Listen, look at that. That's exactly what happens to me. That's exactly what happens to you. When I'm weak, when I'm down, He's there as the straight. He's there as the stake. That's what Paul's saying in Colossians 2:7. The Lord has built me up. How many of you would give testimony of that in your life? Raise your hand and tell somebody today. Tell your children today. They need to know the story of how God has held you up. So that Psalm 37 verse 17 is not just a verse on a page in the Bible, but the testimony of your life that the generations can hold on to. The Lord has upheld us when we were weak. Now move on. Third way that God grows us up is that He's firmly rooted us in Christ, continually builds us up, but also thirdly, He continually establishes us in the faith. Don't miss this. That's why Paul ends it with, and established in your faith just as you were instructed. See, I want it to be that someday you, when you're old and gray like I'm becoming, you can look over the timeline of your life and you can see the help of a skillful gardener. You can proclaim that He's upheld you. He deeply rooted you. He stood firm with you even when you faced all the elements. But how? How does He do that? Look what He says here. How does He establish you in your faith? Did He say join the church? What does He say here? He says, just as you were instructed. I love this. Because God has been instructing you. He's been instructing me over the timeline of our lives. I had a praying mother. You know the story. I was dying as a child. I was an incubator child and so forth. And they didn't even give me a name. I didn't know my birthday until I was 47 years old. They were done with me. But a group of people laid hands on the incubator and prayed that God would save that shriveled up little 4-pound baby and save him for Christian service. God has upheld us through the prayers of faithful people. I had a praying mother. I don't know who else in my family. All I know is this, that I was instructed in the power of prayer from the time I was young. God has done that in your life. There are so many influences. You were instructed, and He instructed you also in the Word of God. People of faith who trusted the Word of God, the Bible. You know, I'm telling you stuff you know. Do you know how hard it is for me as a preacher to preach the obvious? If I were somehow say, I've got a seminar on how to grow in Christ. You know, give me $50 and I'm going to teach you how to stand on your head and spit wooden nickels. And you'll pack in because you've never heard it before. But if I tell you you need to be a man or woman of the Word, you'll say, I've already heard that. You're telling me what my grandmother told me, my grandfather told me, my Sunday school teachers told me. Every preacher I've ever heard has told me this. Tell me something different. I can't. Because if I do, I'm a heretic. I'm telling you what you know. That's why in Acts 20, verse 32, it speaks of the Word of God, which is able to build you up. You want to grow? There are no shortcuts. You're not going to be able to put this Bible under your pillow and wake up and be a man or woman of the Word. It doesn't work that way. Let me give you the testimony, because you're not going to listen to me. You've heard me say this too many times. You've already shut me off. So let me quote Martin Luther 500 years ago. Maybe you'll listen to him. For some years now, he says, I've read through the Bible twice every year. If you picture the Bible to be a mighty tree and every word a little branch, I have shaken every one of those branches because I want to know what it was and what it meant. You shaking some branches? Or do you start in January reading Genesis and you get to about Exodus and leave? Then the next year you start in Matthew and you quit in Luke. Maybe. And you never get to Ezekiel. I'm in Ezekiel right now. I was walking by the church office one day, and I saw a piece of paper on the ground, and I picked it up to throw it away. And as I did, I had this thought, I wonder if this is a message from God. You ever done that with a fortune cookie? And I laughed at myself because I said, I don't need a message from God. I already have one. But human nature is, I want something special. Isn't it? I want something different. Oh, this may have been good enough for Paul and John and Moses and Enoch, and it may have been good enough for Jesus, but I want something special. But you have it. God's message to us. The only issue is, are we ready and willing to listen? Oh, show me someone who is firmly rooted in Christ, who is now being built up in Christ, who is being established in his faith through the study of God's Word, and I'll show you a man whose walk is full and whose walk is meaningful and whose walk is steady. And that's Paul's point. And if you're not growing, there are two things that you need to face. Number one, maybe you're not really a child of God to begin with. You think I like saying that? Maybe even fooling yourselves. Going to church, doing all things church do, but Jesus spoke about the tares among the wheat. And you know what about tares? They look exactly like wheat until harvest time. Maybe you are. And you've joined a church. You may be in leadership in a church. You may be listening by radio thinking, how in the world, who do you think you are, CC? And the answer is, I'm just a nobody from nowhere. But I serve a great somebody from everywhere. And I believe the book. And the Bible says, test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Oh, you may be able to fool others. We're good at it. Or maybe you are a child of God, but you're shriveling on the vine. You're fighting against God's growth process in your life. You want to see how close you get to the world and still be called a Christian. Let me tell you this, biblically speaking, there is no such thing as a stagnant Christian. I've been reading in Jeremiah, and I love what Jeremiah 7:24 says. It spoke of the stubborn Israelites who walked in their own counsel, watch this, and went backwards and not forward. Let me tell you what the Bible says of you if you're not growing. You start as a child of faith, become a young man, and you become a father. But let me tell you something. Hear me carefully. When you stop growing, you no longer can go through that process. You now become what the Bible calls a brephos, an infant. Don't ever call somebody a babe in the faith. A babe in the faith is an undeveloped Christian because of sin. Never call anybody a babe in the faith. You're either a child, a young man, or a father, but watch what happens when you stop growing. You become a babe in the faith. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 3, and I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not yet able, for you're still fleshly. You're brephos, you're babes. By the way, the Greek word brephos is the same word of Christ in the manger. You're a baby. You can't stand on your own. You have to be fed and nurtured, and you would die unless somebody held you. But then Hebrews 5 describes what you should be by that time. Verse 11 to 14, concerning Christ, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, some of you are 20, 30, 40 years old in the Lord, and you ought to be teachers. But you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. Sam, you know this, it's the ABCs in Greek. In Chinese, it's translated the ear, san, su, liu, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5s, the un, deux, trois in French, the basics. The ABCs, the goo-goos and the ga-gas of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk. You lost your teeth. And not solitude. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant, he's a babe. He should be a child in the faith, growing to a young man in the faith, becoming a father in the faith, but no, he's taken this other anomaly called the infant, the brephos. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, you think you're going to get mature just because you've been 20, 30, 40 years old in the Lord? Practice. And have their senses trained to discern good and evil. I know this doesn't sound like a fun thing to hear, but I'm not here to tell you whether you're growing or not. That's your decision. You got to sit under your own sequoia tree. You got to sit under your own sense of the lordship of Christ in your life and ask the question, am I growing? And frankly, we get the easier part of the growth because we can't save ourselves. We can't root ourselves. We're already rooted. And then he gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And that's why Paul puts it all together. So we would come to the point where we're, as he says here in verse 7, overflowing with gratitude. That we're a tree that bears abundant fruit. That we're walking in Christ and we're bearing the fruit of gratitude. Gratitude for the growth in our lives. Gratitude for God's sustaining power. Gratitude for the Christ-likeness that he is producing. True gratitude. Are you glad you're growing? But Paul's a realist. That's why I like him so much. There he is in a Roman prison, writing such a letter. Think about this. To a group of people he's never met. He knows a few from the Church of Colossae. Imagine, some of you may be listening by radio for the first time and hearing my voice, thinking, oh man, I'm glad I don't go to that church. Listen to me. When I say in love, and I say in concern, because Paul knows that there are threats to our growth, and that's why he will spend the rest of chapter 2 warning us against spiritual intimidation, against the false prophets of our own lives, and the false teachers that come in, that invade us, and have all of their neat little systems in how you'll grow, that will take you from the basics and the fundamentals, because that's boring. You don't know the pressure that churches are feeling today about being so different that they compromise the truth. You know why that is? Because audiences don't like the truth. They don't like the basics, the fundamentals. They don't want to hear what they've always heard from the time they were children. They don't want to hear that. That's what I heard in Sunday school. That's what I heard at camp. That's what I heard from my parents. Tell me something different. And all the churches flock, fill up with people telling them something different, and Paul will warn. And in chapter 2, he will warn severely of the danger to your growth and my growth. And we'll pick that up the next time. So how do you end this? You know, next February, I'm taking a group of people to Israel, and I'm requiring them to do what most people that go to Israel aren't required to do, and that is I'm requiring them to read the Old Testament and the New Testament. Go figure. Because why go to see something that you don't even know what it is? But we often sing the song when we get there, I walk today where Jesus walked. But let me tell you what my greater concern is. It's not to walk today where Jesus walked, but to live today as Jesus lived. That's the harder road. It may be expensive to go to Israel. Let me tell you something. It's far more expensive to walk as Jesus walked, because it takes a daily cost of taking up your cross and following him. I'd much rather just go into the bank account and buy a ticket, go walk where Jesus walked. The hardest part of my life is getting up every morning and walking like Jesus walked. Anybody with me? And so that's why we're going to end this message. And the simple challenge is I want you to take your spiritual pedometer and measure your steps this week. I put it in pink because I have a blue one in my hand. I'll tell you something. Most of you won't do this. But I'm begging you, on behalf of the generations that aren't going to have many examples, pick up the walk again. Excel still more with a commitment of an excellence beyond excellence. And not so that you'll win in the Olympics, that crown of victory, but the reward that you'll find in heaven. That's my prayer for us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. I thank you for these precious people. And Lord, their willingness to even be here in this auditorium and listen to these words and come back the next time and the next and the next. I marvel. Sometimes I feel like the prophets that were required to preach until no one listens. Thank you for those that are listening. But Lord, ultimately, I want to listen. And I want to walk. And I want to excel for your honor and for your glory in Jesus' name. God's people said.
Putting Colossians 2:7 all together, we are to let our roots grow down into Him. Let our lives be built on Him. Then our faith will grow strong in the truth of the Word of God we are taught. As a result, we will be overflowing with gratitude.
Gratitude for the growth in our lives. Gratitude for God's sustaining power. Gratitude for the Christ-likeness that He is producing in us.
And yes, I know the standard. Lord, and yes, I know the call. And yes, I know the victories, Jesus. But I also know the falls. 'Cause my heart's longing for the power for more, and it's lifting my eyes to all that's in store. Perfect your perfect work in me. Perfect your perfect work. Perfect your perfect work in me. Perfect your perfect work. Whoa, whoa. And yes, I know the promise. The ones far off and ones for now. So I continue to keep fighting to be a man who humbly bows. 'Cause my heart's longing for the power for more. And it's lifting my to all that's in store.
Perfect your perfect work in me. Perfect your perfect. power of Christ in me, from life's first cry to final breath. Oh, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hands till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.